We're reading, please, from Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, because that's where we need to go to read about the Passover. And we have here in this chapter the institution of the Passover. In a couple of weeks' time, the Jewish people will celebrate the Passover. It begins on the 3rd of April, and that's, of course, Good Friday. And it goes on for 8 days until the 11th of April. The people of Israel and the diaspora around the world, they commemorate the Passover. The tragedy is that there's no lamb involved. That's the sad part about the modern day celebration of the Passover. But here we have in Exodus 12, the first Passover. And we're going to begin to read at verse 11. If we could move down the chapter to verse 11. "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." There's where the word comes from, the Lord's Passover. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Remember that it was the 10th plague. And what was the 10th plague? It was the death of the firstborn. In every home where the blood was not applied to the door, the eldest child would die. And so the Lord says that if the blood is upon you, then the plague won't come in to your home. Verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for ever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall eat, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the 7th day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." Verse 21, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." And you know what the teaching there is? You know what the lesson from that verse is? Christian, never stop trusting in the blood. Some people think, oh, well, just we just trust the blood the day or the night that we're saved, and that's it all over. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that as long as we live as believers on this earth, we, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, we're to trust in the blood. We're to depend on the blood. And that's just what it's like when it says here. That's what it means. That's the spiritual lesson when it says that you're not to go out of the house until the morning. You know, this world that we live in is like a night. It's just like living through a night, living through the darkness. But one day the morning will come, and we'll be on the other side with Christ, which is far better. But until that day comes, never stop trusting in the blood. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in onto your houses to smite you. Whenever it says there that the Lord will pass over the door, do you know what it literally means? The Lord will stand guard at your door to protect you. The Lord will guard you because the blood is upon the door. That's what it literally means whenever it says that the Lord, when he sees the blood, he will pass over us. It means he will stop there at that home. He'll guard that home. Death can't enter. Judgment can't come to that home because the blood has been applied. My, what a lovely thought that is. Christian, no matter how long you're saved or how weak you feel, remember, you've got a bodyguard. Yes, you, as a believer, you have the best bodyguard that anyone could ever have. I mean it in a spiritual sense. You have the Lord to guard your soul. And it's all because he sees his own blood upon your soul. I wonder, do you have this bodyguard today? Or are you all on your own? You don't have Christ. And the Lord will not be your guard someday, but he'll be your judge. Depart from me, I never knew you. Verse 24, and ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? So here, fathers in the meeting today, this is your responsibility. This is your duty. Dads in the service today, to tell your children when they ask you questions about spiritual things. Verse 27, here's what the fathers are to say, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Let me ask you, fathers, today, and I ask myself the same question. Do you teach your children spiritual things? Thank God for the mothers who teach the children. As many great men have spoken about the influence of their mothers and what they learned at their mother's knee, but the fathers are to start first. The buck stops with the fathers. They are the ones who are to teach the children first and foremost. May the Lord help me to teach my children. And you fathers in service today, I pray for you and I pray the Lord will help you to teach your children. Yes, we thank God for Sunday school teachers. But you know, us fathers, we need to be the ones who teach our children. We'll move down to the end of the chapter. Verse 43, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the public reading of his infallible word. Could we bow, please, in a word of prayer? Father, we thank thee today for the feast of the Passover. And we thank thee that the scriptures tell us that Christ is our Passover. Thank thee that our Savior has been sacrificed for us in our place, in our stead. And O Lord, today and in the weeks to come, as we approach the Easter season, may we see Christ in all his beauty. And at the end of it, Lord, may we cry out, he is altogether lovely. Now I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I wonder where you were on Friday morning at 9:30. Or what were you doing on Friday morning at 9:30? That's the time, of course, that the eclipse took place. And you have already said that it was cloudy in our country. But there were people who were able to get a good clear sight of the eclipse. It apparently only happens in our country, is it, once every 85 years. So I don't think we'll be around to see the next one. But there it was, the eclipse. And I'm sure that you noticed that the skies darkened. It got duller and more gloomy than normal. And what was happening was the moon was eclipsing the sun. The moon was passing over the front of the sun. And I happened to see one of these video clips of people who were standing watching the eclipse take place. I think it was in the Faroe Islands. And they described it as being like an unusual darkness, total darkness. It was so dark that they couldn't even see their finger in front of them. There was something strange and eerie about the darkness. Well, friends, this morning I want to take you back to the land of Egypt, thousands of years ago, to the darkness there. It was the 9th plague. You remember there were 10 plagues that God sent on Egypt, 10 judgments that were sent in Egypt. The reason, of course, that they were sent was because Pharaoh had rebelled against God. He wouldn't let the people of Israel go, but God sent judgments. Now, the Lord does not want to judge anyone. And my, how patient he is. But the time came whenever enough was enough, and God said, Pharaoh, you've had your chance, now judgment must fall. So the plague started, the river was turned to blood, and then the rest of the plagues came. We get to the 9th plague, it's the darkness. The Bible says that it was thick darkness for 3 days. It was a strange kind of darkness. The actual phrase that Scripture uses, it was a darkness that may be felt. It was almost as if you could feel the darkness. What was happening? God was judging the god of Egypt, or one of the gods of Egypt. You see, the Egyptians worshipped many different gods, a wee bit like people today. People today are involved in what we could only describe as paganism. Sure, you only have to think about that temple on the hill that was burned last night. Paganism. Reverend Graham Orr was quite right to speak out against it. And he hit the nail on the head when he described it as paganism, for that's what it is. Now, I don't want to veer off on a tangent, but I'll just say this. We are not to bring our sorrows and our burdens to a wooden temple. Listen, we're to bring our sorrows and our burdens and our tears to God's temple. Do you know who God's temple is? Jesus. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 2, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." The temple of his body. That's where we are to bring our sorrows, our heartaches to. Now, our hearts go out to the people who did go to that structure, and they left their messages. And we're not saying today that we're to be hard-hearted and cold and callous and that we don't feel for people. Of course we do. But we want them to know the truth, and we want people to be able to bring their burdens to Christ.